following audio file came from newwineonline.com. Here's Pastor Chris Simpson.
Okay, Lord, I pray that you would come and anoint the word, the scriptures today to our ears to hear what the Spirit would say. Come, Holy Spirit, we invite you right now. We invite your presence. And everybody said, turn if you would, we're going to look at a couple of verses this morning to Proverbs 23:23. I've been kind of on a theme lately on Sunday mornings, kind of a thread as it were. The Holy Spirit keeps me on this thread. You know, these teachings that I share on Sundays, I particularly want to apply them not just to adults, but to children. You know, I was thinking the other day, I was in a brought up, I never missed church on Sunday. In my religion, if you ever missed church on Sunday once, you went to hell. So it's a good incentive to go to church. I'm so glad I'm not under that law now. But I do remember many, many years that the sermons that were taught were always way over my head. I didn't have a clue what they were talking about. It's like they were always talking to the adults. So I believe that kids need to hear. Amen? And so I try to go in the Word and find something that's applicable to adults, to young people, and to the little ones, so that the Word of God can minister to all of us. And what I want to talk about today is truth and integrity are life's most precious commodity. I started out a few weeks ago talking about hearing the voice of the Lord, and Jesus said, everyone that's of the truth hears my voice. So I've kind of threaded along that line, that the key to hearing the Lord's voice, the actual voice of the Holy Spirit in your spirit, is to love truth. If you don't love the truth, folks, you're not going to hear the voice of the Lord. You're going to be battered with the voice of the enemy. John 8:44 says, Satan is a liar and the father of lies. So Christianity is all about righteousness and truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. We're told in 2 Thessalonians that if someone believes and embraces a lie, God will actually send strong delusion. Because he will actually, as it were, rub your face in it until you repent. Because what you don't want to believe lies. Worst thing in life you can do, the worst thing you can ever do for your being is to believe something to be a lie that you know is the truth. Can I amen? When you know something's right and you choose to believe a lie because it's more convenient to you, you have turned a dark corner. It's like getting into a cave and getting lost, you know, in the darkness of the cave. So it's very important that we love the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Here it says, Proverbs 23:23, buy the truth and sell it not. Also wisdom and instruction, understanding. I like the way Solomon says it, buy it. That reminds me of the parable of, remember, the five wise and the five foolish virgins? Virgins. And, you know, the wise ones went and they bought wine. They bought what they needed necessary. The foolish didn't. They squandered their living. He says, you're going to expect. In fact, doesn't that remind you of that? I was thinking Isaiah 55. It says, that just popped in my mind. Ho, everyone that thirsts, come to the waters. And he that has no money, come buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money, without price. You know, buying the truth doesn't cost you anything. It's an attitude of the heart. When I was young, in my early, when I first came to know the Lord, I don't know where I got this prayer or who told it to me. I was 19 years old at the time. And I had a prayer I used to pray every day. And it was, Lord, I want the truth and the whole truth and no matter what, nothing but the truth, no matter who it separates me from or puts me with. I just learned that prayer when I was young. I want the truth, Lord, no matter where I have to go on the planet. You have to move me another continent. I don't care. I want the truth. I got that in my spirit. Most important prayer you can pray. But unfortunately, a lot of people can't hear the voice of the Lord because of little lies and little compromises. You know, and one way you can often tell, Jesus said, the light of the body is the eye. And if a man's eye be single, the light in him is full. But if the eye be dark, how great is the darkness? Jesus said, everyone that does truth comes to the light. Now, often you can tell when someone does not living in truth because they can't look in the eye. You ever run into somebody that can't look in the eye? It's so discomforting. You try to talk to someone, they're looking at everything but you. Once in a while they glance at you, you know. And you always wonder, well, what's the deal? You know, am I that ugly? Obviously, did I brush my teeth today? You know. But, you know, even that may be the case. But a lot of times what the deal is people just are afraid. They're afraid of scrutiny. They're afraid of anybody looking at them, confronting them. And they can't look in the eye. God wants us to be with, that the light that's inside of you comes out of your eyes. And a lot of times when someone is giving themselves over to a lie or an untruth or a deception or they're lying to themselves, it's evident in their face. There's a darkness, there's patches of darkness. I've seen that with people. When you operate in discernment, when you pray for discernment, God can show you discernment. The people walk around, they have patches of darkness on their face. It's something you discern in the spirit. In fact, they've given it, you know, actually, I really believe what you are inside, you cannot hide. Did you know that? There's a good sermon title. What you are inside, you cannot hide. We are what we are. Jesus said, from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And when you have interior light, it comes out of your face. Here's something really gross. Bear with me here. You ready? This is really gross. I'm warning you. As maggots thrive on rotting waste, so unclean spirits thrive on lies embraced. That was a gross poem. But it's true. You know, all of life is symbolic in the natural of the spiritual realm. Did you know that? This natural realm is a mirror of the spiritual realm. Amen? The whole principle of death, burial, and resurrection. Do you know that's mirrored in the natural realm? Fall, winter, and spring. There are so many things in the natural realm are types of the spiritual realm. Creatures, certain creatures are types of demons. Jesus said, I give you authority to tread upon the what? Serpents and scorpions. You notice how he didn't say serpents and puppies. He said scorpions. So it's just everybody, you don't have to be told that a scorpion is something you don't want to be around. Well, a little puppy you do. That nature has these horrible things. There are things in nature that are really horrible looking. Aren't you glad God created nature the way he did? He made the really horrible looking things really small. Amen? I mean, elephants, giraffes, rhinoceroses, great whales, they don't bother me. It's kind of simple, you know. But have you ever seen one of those centipede things with all these 10 trillion legs? Or a spider? You see, you know what science fiction movies do? They just reverse it. That's all they do in science fiction. They just make little small things, big things. The attack of the giant spider. The attack of the octopus. You know, well, they do have some big octopus. But God keeps them down in the water. We have to look at them. So the little tiny things often are a type of the demonic. You know, the little tiny bugs and insects and swarms. Amen? And maggots. And something about maggots. They're disgusting. I mean, they eat waste. They eat rotting waste. You know, that's exactly what the demonic is. And I've been in the deliverance ministry a long time, and that's what demons are. They feed on the corpse of the old man that's not crucified. They feed on the errors of you that have given over to lies. Satan thrives on lies. Just as flies come to your garbage, Satan thrives on lies. When there's an area in your life that you've chosen to resist the Lord, to hang on to your rights, I will not, for instance, unforgiveness. You will not forgive somebody. You're going to be bitter. You're going to judge. You're not going to let something go. You're going to be mad. You're going to nurse your hurt. You know what? That's like having a garbage can that you refuse to empty. You know, you go through the house. We have one of the guys in our house. We have a lot of guys live in our house. And one of them, he has this special anointed ministry. We call him the trash czar. And he has the anointed ability to go through the house and empty all the trash, you know. We kid around when there's an empty trash can. We say, we're incapable of emptying it. We don't have, not have the gifting that he has. Kidding, but it works. But can you imagine, there's one trash can. I am not going to empty that one. I refuse to empty that trash can. I just know I want. So after a few months, what's going to happen? All the rest of the house, but this one area of the house, you get to go in the room. Trash all over, you know, garbage, filth. You know, that's exactly how people's lives are. They maybe have all these areas they're walking in righteousness, but this one area they don't want to deal with. They want to hang on to their right. You know what? That's where all the flies and the roaches and the bugs come. That's the perfect type of the demonic. So what this is all about is Jesus wants to truth and righteousness in every part. Look at Psalm 119:28. Turn there. We're just going to look at a few verses this morning. Psalm 119, that's the long one. That is the longest chapter in the Bible. Did you know the shortest chapter in the Bible is just two chapters away from the longest chapter in the Bible? And from what I understand, the middle chapter in the Bible is between the shortest chapter of the Bible. No, the middle verse of the Bible is between the shortest chapter of the Bible and the longest chapter of the Bible. You say you don't care? Okay. Well, whatever. I like stuff like that. Psalm 119 is the longest chapter in the Bible, and verse 28, it reads, "My soul melts for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according to thy word. Remove from me the way of lying, and grant me thy law graciously. I have chosen the way of truth. Thy judgments have I laid before me." You know, lying tendencies have consequences. Here we see, if you read the context, "My soul melts for heaviness. Remove from me the way of lying. I've chosen truth." A lot of times when we give ourselves over to deception or lies, you open yourself up to heaviness and depression and shame and self-hate. You know, because you can't, you know, it's hard to like yourself when you know you're a liar, when you know you're a deceiver, when you know you're not being truthful. You know, God wants us to be honest even in the little things, the little inconsequential things. I read a billboard the other day. It says, "Reputation is the way others see you, but character is the way God knows you." See, we all want a good reputation, but what does that matter? Character is how God knows you. Character is what you do when you're alone. Reputation is what you do around others. Character, what do you do when you're alone? When nobody can see you except God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, and 10 trillion angels. We think we do things in a closet. I think not. The Bible said the eyes of the Lord in every place, beholding the good and the evil. One day we will be held accountable for everything we do. Every idle word, it says, we speak will be held accountable in the day of judgment. Whoa. Every idle word. You know how you speak idle words? That's when your engine is running on idle. You're not in forward or backwards, you know? In fact, we're told that when you lie to someone, you're really hating someone. Look at this, Proverbs 26, 28. Did you know that? When you lie to someone, you are really hating them. You have no respect for someone when you lie to them. When you're dishonest. Proverbs 26, 28. A lying tongue hates those that are afflicted by it. And a flattering mouth works ruin. Now listen how this reads in the NIV. Proverbs 26, 28. A lying tongue hates those it hurts. And a flattering mouth works ruin. Here's the Living Bible. Flattery is a form of hatred and wounds cruelly. Cruelly. You know, you cannot respect. When you lie to someone, you're in effect saying, "I don't respect you." It's a hateful thing to lie. Amen? Parents, you will never do your kids a better favor than forbidding them to lie. If you have any reason to punish a child, it's for lying. Are you hearing me? You are doing the worst thing in the world for a kid if you let him get away with lying. Now, there are certain things you can be lenient about, but that's not one, man. Early on, kids need to know that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Says the Father of lights comes down every good and perfect gift. There's no variableness or shadow of turning. We've got to have it instilled in the core. And Psalm 51, it says, "He desires truth in the inward parts, and the hidden parts he'll make us to know wisdom." See, when we have truth in the inward part, then he will make us to know wisdom in the hidden parts. Yeah, I was looking at that verse. It says, "He desires truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden parts he'll make us to know wisdom." And I realized one went with the other. We put truth in the inward parts, and he gives us wisdom about life. And I've shared the story. Some of my most significant punishments that I remember to this day when I was a youngster was because I lied. Just stupid lies. Stupid lies. Because when you're a kid, they usually are stupid lies, right? Kids, let me tell you something. Your parents know. Canadian parents. Don't lie to your parents. It's stupid. They know. And if they don't know, they'll go to God. And God will show them in short order. Parishioners, let me tell you something. Your pastor knows. And if you don't know, don't worry about it. He'll go to God, and God will show him in short order. Do you understand how it works with authority and submission? That's how it works. You can't hide. You can learn, but you cannot hide. God is faithful to bring things to the light. That's what discernment is all about. The difference is when you do know someone's lying, you don't run in there. You've got to use wisdom to confront and reconcile them back to truth. I wrote here, honesty is the glue of healthy, godly relationships. Honesty is the glue. I've said this before. We've seen this over the years. You cannot minister to a liar. I've tried. We've had over the years people, but when someone is not honest, you can't help them. It's a waste of time. Now I get to the point, if someone's lying, I go, look, I ain't even going there. I don't want to talk to you. You're going to fast. You're going a good fast and seek the face of the Lord and come back and then let's deal with your lying problem. And then we go from there. And that trust is so fundamental to any ministry. I know you can't even hear God when there's lies. And you know, I've said this before. If I was to preach a sermon like this in the average church today, you want to know something? There'd be all kind of squirming going on. Because a lot of people are not thrust with the Word of God so sharply. But it's what we need. Can you amen? I thank God for the way my dad, he just thanked the Lord for my dad. He was a man of righteousness and he absolutely believed in truth and he hated lying. Do you know there's a scripture that says a righteous man hates lying? It's okay to hate lying. Not the liar, but the lying. Because of the consequence of it. Did I share last week about that time with the gun and I had the gun in my hand and I shot my brother? Wasn't a real gun. It was a little rubber band gun. Well, rubber band, you gotta shoot rubber bands. And I'm sitting there, I think, and I shot it. I was about 8 years old. My older brother had glasses. And we were all teasing. None of us had glasses. He had glasses. You know what now? I think all of us wear glasses. I don't think he does. But I shot it, and it busted the glass. It was in his eye. My dad comes out of the bathroom, and here's my brother Tim crying, glass in his face. There's a rubber band on the ground, and here I am holding the rubber band gun. And I said, I didn't do it! stupid lie. And the next thing in my memory was Dad with the belt. And him saying, I'm not doing this because he knew it was an accident. But I'm doing it because you lie. And you know, that went so deep inside of me, I still remember that punishment. Praise God. I learned early. And you know, when you're young, you know the way you learn, parents? Let me tell you something. So kids, don't listen to this. You can't reason with a child. Now listen to me a minute. I'm gonna get off the subject just a minute. I don't mean it, but listen, parents, don't reason with your children. You can't say, now Johnny, listen, let's have a heart-to-heart. I just need you to obey me in all things. I need you to this and need you to that. Now, please be reasonable. Parents, children are not reasonable. Children are children. Hello? Now, they increase in reason. And the point is, eventually, you can reason with them. But you start with correction. Parameters. And the scripture says, withhold not correction from a child, for if you whip him with a rod, he will not die. You shall beat him with the rod and deliver his soul from hell. I'm sorry. Sometimes a switch is needed. I don't think you need it every time. But sometimes, my gosh, if nothing else works, thank God we can still do it here in Texas. Amen? There are some countries where you'll go to jail if you whip your kid. So I'd end up in jail. And I have them over to visit me in jail. I say, come on a little bit closer to the bar, kid. What? Amen? That's what God says. And I got more of my share of whippings. Now, come on, honest adults. How many of y'all got whippings in you going on? All right, how many never got a whipping? Wait, who? Man, you guys need deliverance. I'm serious. Am I right? Look at that. Isn't that wild? You wanted parameters. And that wasn't fair to you. Now, you turned out to be a pretty cool lady. You know? You really have. That's because Jesus has been giving some whippings, hasn't he? Yeah. Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost, fire. You know, when you come to Jesus, he'll make up for where you're parents. The Bible says, when my father and my mother forsake me, the Lord will take me up. Amen? But thank the Lord for my parents. Huh? I tell you, you go to Holy Ghost woodshed, ain't nothing like my daddy. Because he knows everything. But let me tell you, I just tell you, parents, you need to love your kids. And all you need is two things to parent. Two things, it's so simple. Parameters and consistency. A fence with no holes. That's it. Real simple. Just build a fence and don't let the kids. Because you know what kids are going to do? They're going to try you. They're going to find that weak spot. I notice every week at this point, mom is or dad's weak, and if I push them, they'll give in to me. Worst thing you can do with that kid. Be consistent. Amen? I thank the Lord my dad was a Navy man out of World War II, and everything was yes, sir, and no, ma'am, or you got slapped across the room. I'm serious. That was another generation. I mean, he was as hard as nails and rock solid, and you respected your adults. When other adults came around, we said yes, ma'am, and no, sir, to the other adults. We got slapped across the room in front of them. So my dad had all these obedient little boys. Well, you know what? I thank the Lord for that. I learned respect for authority. I was not a snotty-nosed little kid. And just grieving when I see kids around adults and they just act like old snots. You want to go slap the parents? Amen? This culture of ours is so ridiculous. Do you know, this is not in my notes. The Texas State Senate, or House, last week, was arguing whether they ought to, and they're the laughing stock of the country, but they're arguing the cheerleader bill. Did you hear about this? Some state senators have proposed a bill that these young girls don't need to be doing all this lascivious, lewd movement with their bodies at football games. It's called the cheerleader bill. He was grieved. It's ridiculous. You go to these football, I don't know, the ones I go to Deer Park with my wife, well, I didn't see them down there, but it may be, from what I can tell, they're really just really lewd, and parents are there with their little kids, and the girls are just, look who they got, their model, Britney Spears, and some of these girls that are just basically, forgive me, but the word slut comes to mind, and this is what their models are. So this guy put a bill out to somehow legislate being decent, not perverse, out of the football field. And I read some commentators said, this is ridiculous. Where are the parents? Do you know when the parents don't do it, the government steps in? Now, I'm sorry, the government ain't going to work. Can you see cops there standing on the side? Okay, that was lewd. Put it on the hand. I mean, come on. It ain't going to work. But you know, that's the point. Where are the parents? It's sickening. Snotty little kids. Can some of you mamas imagine your daughter out there in the field doing that? I can see them coming home and mama saying, you come in here. Whoa. Amen? That's what I said. Sometimes I want to slap the parents. That's the problem. Anyway, that was not in my notes. In conclusion here, Proverbs 13:5. One or two more Proverbs will be going. Proverbs 13:5. Yeah, I quoted this one. I want you to see this. A righteous man hates lying, but a wicked man is loathsome and comes to shame. You know what? Lying is a form of betrayal. Did you know that? The Bible says it in Ephesians 4, speak truth one to another, for we're members one another. In the body of Christ, like I said, honesty is the glue that holds us together. In the body of Christ, we trust one another. Trust, do you know, trust is the nature of man. We default to go, we want to trust people. You want to. You try to trust people. And it's frustrating when you're trying to trust someone who you know has lied. And you know the sad thing about lying? Is once you're known as a liar, it's really hard to get back trust. There's a scripture that says, dead flies cause the ointment of the apothecary to send forth a stinking savor. This is Ecclesiastes. In other words, if dead flies are in the ointment, the whole thing stinks. So does a little folly him that's in reputation for wisdom and honor. When you lie, when you're known to be that you can hedge, then people just always are wondering. You know, always wondering when the chips are down, is this going to be the real thing? You know, it's so good to find someone that you know, as he says in Psalm 15, about the righteous man. He says, in whose eyes he honors him that fear the Lord, he that swears to his own hurt and changes not. I like that. Swears to his own hurt. He would literally die than lie. He would literally be hurt and be defrauded and lose than compromise his integrity. You know, your integrity, that's the teacher today. Truth and integrity is your most precious commodity. You'd rather lose than lose your integrity. Nothing is more precious in life. Your word. You know, God's only as good as his word. That's why we trust him, because he's faithful to his word. It's the same thing with people. When I know somebody, and there are people I've known and I know now in my life, that when they say it, I know it's done. I can trust. Never have to think a second thought. What a wonderful thing. Amen? The very nature I have in my business, part-time business, in the financial services business. You know, we deal, I have a securities license. It's a federal license, and I help people with retirement plans. That can be upwards hundreds of thousands of dollars of investments and rollovers in this. You know, I had to have a federal license and a federal background check. That's part of it. They did the feds a background check before they give you this license. They want to know there's an integrity and a truth. And what's interesting in our company, that when we hire someone on, if you've even been charged with a felony, we won't hire you. Not if you had a felony. If you've even been charged, innocent or guilty, we won't hire you. It isn't that we won't hire you, but they will not license you. They won't license you. Now, I'm talking about the Fed license of securities. They won't license you. I mean, just a charge. In fact, if you've ever had anything to do with stealing, I don't care, even a misdemeanor when you were 16 and you're 60, they won't touch you. They won't, just a charge? If you even smell like stealing, and you know what, that makes you feel comfortable, really, so that when you sit down with a securities licensed person, you know they have no stealing or lying in that area in their background all the way back. Aren't you glad for that? I'm glad for the government doing that. It just shows you the value. I was trying a young man not long ago. I was trying to recruit him in the business. He is really excited and passionate and really eager fella, and he needed the job, and sat down, and I always have to ask him, I said, have you ever had a felony? No, I've never had a felony, blah, blah. But he had a misdemeanor, and he had been charged with stealing. And I said, well, how about your wife? Well, she got charged with stealing, too. So I said, well, maybe I can do you a little business. But I just couldn't help. Folks, I tell you, kids, what's sad is this kid who's in his 20s, that area he will never be able to do. You see, you don't ever want to lose your integrity. You know what I mean? Last place this morning, Proverbs 23:13. In conclusion, oh, I already read it. I keep doing this. I keep quoting all the verses ahead of time, and then we go to, well, we'll conclude it. I want you to read this, because I just quoted it. Proverbs 23:13. Withhold not correction from the child. If you beat him with a rod, he'll not die. You'll beat him with a rod. You know, King James is pretty rough. Listen how the Living Bible reads. I like this. Don't fail to correct your children. Discipline will not hurt them. They won't die if you use a stick on them. Punishment will keep them out of hell. Folks, that's in the Bible. I heard an older gentleman say amen. He that spares his rod hates his son, but he that loves him corrects him often. I'm just reading these. Have you ever gone through the Proverbs, parents, and looked at these things? There's another one that says, foolishness is in the heart of child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. Amen? Kids are squirming now. That's all right. Squirm. Squirm, worm. You want to squirm. You want to get those squirmy things out of you. You know what I mean? It's all about truth and integrity. And I'm so grateful. You know, here's the bottom line. Let me close with this. You know what? One day, everybody in this room, myself included. One day, listen to me, folks. Everybody in this room will have the biggest, brightest spotlight you ever heard. Floodlight. Right in your face. And this floodlight, it will be spiritual light. It will go right through your clothes, through your skin, through your bones and muscle. It will go down to your heart and your soul and the innermost cracks of who you are. The headlight of God. And everything will be laid bare. Jesus said what was whispered will be shouted from the housetops. Everything that is secret shall be made known. The last verse of Ecclesiastes, every evil thing will be exposed. But you know, here's the good news in 1 Timothy. He says, some men's sins go before them to judgment. Here's the good news. In this life, when you hear a convicting word like this, all you got to do is say, oh, Jesus, forgive me. Oh, Jesus, I've lied. Oh, Jesus, I want the truth in my life. Forgive me. You know what? In this life, guess what? The blood of Jesus will wash it away. And it's gone. Has no power, no record. You're free. It's under the blood. And you can make your heart's decision, I'm going to walk in righteousness. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and God will provide everything. But if you say, no, I'm not ready to give it up. Then I'm telling you folks, one day, the problem is, then it says, some men's sins go before them, but other men's they follow after. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, chapter 5, I believe. Other men's they follow after. That means when you stand on judgment day, you carry it with you over there. And when that floodlight comes, there it is. And there will be eternal, listen to me, eternal consequence for that area. And eternity is a long, long time. You really want to clean it up now. Amen? I told you. Say this after me. Jesus, I desire truth in the inward parts, so that in the hidden part I can know wisdom. Come, light of truth, shine to the depths, expose deceptions and lies, deceits, areas that I'm kidding myself, justifying myself, rationalizing behavior, making excuses. Put the light of truth on it. Bring the conviction of the Holy Spirit on it, that I may confess it as sin and be forgiven by the washing of the blood. Come, Holy Spirit, right now. Now, I pray right now, let's be silent. I want the Lord to convict you. And as he convicts you, you confess it. You just tell him. You don't have to say it out loud. You just confess it to the Lord. Confess your sin. Confess your lie, deception. Maybe the Holy Ghost will tell you you need to go do something. Make it right. Go and confess. Go and be honest where you've been dishonest. Fess up. Lord, come with conviction right now. The Spirit of truth, the Bible says, will bring conviction of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Come. Convict. Let light go to the depths. You know, it's because that Ananias and Sapphira lied that they died in Acts 5. The Holy Church, the first church was so pure that when someone tried to pull a wool over the leader's eyes, God smote him dead. That shows you the heart of the Lord of this area, folks. Thank God for grace. That was the New Testament, too. Boy, if that was going on today, there'd be lines of funeral. What? Car, what do they call those cars? They carry hearses in front of the churches to carry the dead bodies out of the people that lie. Amen? Bring conviction, Lord. This is so important to the heart of the Lord. Thank you for the cleansing of the blood. Let's say this, Jesus, I receive your cleansing, forgiveness. Come, Holy Spirit, give me a passion for truth and righteousness. So my eyes can see and my ears can hear the voice of the Master. Come, Holy Spirit, right now. Come. Show full of us. Let your light, truth, righteousness. I pray for these young people, Lord. Even as I had a daddy who just put such a strong word in me, Lord, I pray you put that strong word in them through their parents and through me. Put it down in the bones, Lord. They will love the truth with all their heart. No matter what it costs, no matter where they have to go, no matter what friends they may lose, they will not compromise their integrity. Lord, just burn that in their spirits. They can have a good, blessed, wonderful life under your favor. Jesus. And Satan, I bind the spirits. I bind the demons. I bind the antagonistic, tormenting, lying, seducing spirits. I command you right now to loose, to cease and desist your lying, your deceptive, your beguiling, seducing voice. I take the power over the saints today, and I bind you, Satan. I bind the powers of the lying spirits in the name of Jesus. I tag the powers of darkness. Tag you in Jesus' name. For their minds and hearts. Come, Holy Spirit. Somebody take a deep breath. Come, Holy Spirit, right now. Just put a cone of light, of truth over all of us. Righteousness. Lord, I just speak a blessing now, a protection over all of us. And everybody said, amen. God bless.
For more audio teachings like these, please visit newwineonline.com.